Good to be back again amongst God's people. Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of sharing right here in this place, and we introduced the topic concerning the covenants that God established in scriptures, and time ran out on me. And so I made contact with Pastor and said, could I please come back? I know you're not expecting me, but could I please come back and finish off what I started? We heard about finishing off what you started this morning in around our communion this morning from Pastor Janet. That's lovely. Praise God. So I'm coming back to finish off what I started. I am very mindful this morning also that as I look over this audience, I am reminded of many of our countrymen from PNG who will be celebrating our 45th independent anniversary in a few days' time. And so just before I get into the word this morning and give you a teaching on the final aspect of the covenant, the Davidic covenant, it's on my heart just to pray for our nation this morning. Is that okay? Just pray for our nation as they prepare themselves for independence celebrations. So Father, I come in your presence today, Lord. Not of myself, but there is something on my heart that I believe you placed concerning my nation, the nation of Papua New Guinea. And I know there are people who are watching this service this morning from PNG, and I pray and I speak into our nation this morning. In the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, that Papua New Guinea will come into alignment with the purposes of God. That Papua New Guineans will shift their mindsets and understand what it is that God is saying in our nation today. And I pray this morning, O sovereign God, like Daniel did in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, I pray, O God, that you raise up sons that are in your house all over the nation of Papua New Guinea and all over this region, for this is the last region in which the gospel entered. And I speak prophetically this morning that the last shall be first. That from the ends of the earth, from Papua New Guinea and from the nations that within this region, including Australia and New Zealand, I pray that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That all nations will behold the glory of the Lord from this region. As you prepare the hearts of your people from the ends of the earth, in preparation of the return of our Messiah, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and the establishment of his kingdom rule on earth. For thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, I decree that. Amen and amen and amen. Amen and amen. There is something about the covenants of God in the Old Testament that is so vital for us to understand as God's people today. Not too many people within the church circles today talk about covenants. Because somehow in the minds of so many, when you talk about covenants, some people immediately associate that word with laws, with contracts, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but in recent times, in recent years, people's mindsets have shifted from living within the boundaries of contracts and covenants to the place where people say in all over the world, I'll do my own thing. I don't care. How many of you have noticed that? There's a massive shift. And the more I'm observing that in our world today, the more I am saying in my own heart, Lord, help me live within the boundaries of your covenant. Help me live within the boundaries of your love. Help me live within the boundaries of your mercy, that I may live. So the covenant that we're speaking about this morning is about the Davidic covenant. And I believe God allowed us not to talk about that the other time, because today I want to just dwell on that covenant alone, because it's such a significant covenant. You know, it's talking about our time and our age and the future to come. Hallelujah. You see, we prayed the last time we were here. I got Pastor Ben up here to pray from Daniel 9. And when you go back into Daniel 7, 8, and 9, God showed Daniel the vision of what is to come. And I believe there are some of us that believe that we are living in that time frame that Daniel saw. Hallelujah. And I want to fast track that to the time where God established his covenant with David. But before I do that, I want to just show you a slide. Our first slide, if we can have that on the screen. Because that Davidic covenant is actually speaking into the future. And it's giving us a glimpse into heaven. And the covenant gives us an understanding. The lion and the lamb, and the lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God have triumphed. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic declaration into the future when you think about the covenant of David. Because there, the lion of the tribe of Judah is spoken of in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Who will open this scroll? You see, John is given a window into the throne room of heaven. And John is hearing what's going on in the throne room of heaven, where you have the 24 elders around the throne of God. Hallelujah. And then this worship that's going on, and then the scroll's been brought forward, and someone's saying, who is going to open the scrolls? And they looked around and they said, no one is in heaven can open the scroll, or on earth or below the earth. But then someone calls out, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God. Behold, he alone will open the scrolls. I want to say to you this morning, in that frame, that scrolls have been opened in the throne room of heaven. Now, some of you listening to me today might have difficulty with that, theologically speaking. But from a prophetic sense, this gives you a window into the future. Because I want you to understand something here. As you go through life, as you see things unfold in our world today, and I'm glad Pastor Ben alluded to that or referred something about that earlier on in our first service. As you see things unfolding in our world today, I don't know what's going through your mind, but in my mind, I'm saying, God, Show yourself mighty in the midst of this. God, reveal yourself in the midst of this. And so in the midst of the throne of God, this is what's going on. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals. And with your blood, you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nations. And you have made them to be a what? Kingdom. I want you to understand this. If you want to be part of what God is doing in our world, in our time, in the days to come, you need to develop, as a believer, a kingdom mindset. You follow what I'm saying? Here is a window I'm opening from God's word to help you understand as a believer that if you want to remain in the boundary of God's love and within His realm, you and I need to do something quickly about shifting in the mindset of how it means and what it means to live as a child of the kingdom of God. Because He purchased us for that realm. He purchased us for a realm that He alone will establish when the time has reached their fulfillment. Amen. So we are a people that must be prepared to be in a kingdom. And what is our mandate? To be priests. To be priests. To understand that, you need to go back in the Old Testament. To understand what a priest does, go back into the Mosaic covenant. You follow my line of thinking in terms of the covenants, how the covenants build upon the other. And so He's called us into a place where He's establishing His kingdom and that we are to be priests for what? To serve our God. Hallelujah. To serve our God. We have about 33 different denominations in our world today. We have so many different ministries in our world today. We have so many different agendas going on in the life of the church. But I want to declare to you today, as God's people, that to enter into a kingdom realm, we need to have one frame. We need to have one. What should I put? Have a frame of thinking that will align us into a place where we serve as God's priests. We serve Him. We serve Him and Him alone. And when we align ourselves with that kind of thinking, we will understand what was going on in the throne room of God in heaven. In heaven, there's no one that says, I want to do my own thing. I'm going to establish my own little group here. I'm going to build my own little ministry here. In heaven, everyone is in sync. Hello? When the lion and the lamb tends this way, all of heaven shifts that way. When the lion and the lamb turns this way, all of heaven shifts in sync. When the lion and the lamb shifts this way, all of heaven shifts. And when it shifts this way, everyone is in sync. The world does not understand that. The world does not understand that. The world is built on the premises that you are your own boss, so to speak. You do your own thing. Put the next slide on for me, please. But the Davidic kingdom gives us a different picture. I gave you a window into heaven. Let's roll on the second slide. Gives us an understanding that that kingdom that David was promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9 to 15, and also you find that same promise in 1 Chronicles 17, was that David's line or the seed of David will be established. And out of the seed of David will come a king who would sit on the throne of David forever and ever and ever. Now, we know from biblical history who that king is. Because in the new covenant, like we heard a few weeks ago, when Jesus came, he established a new covenant. And in his coming, he came through the line of David. Read Matthew. Matthew will give you an understanding that Jesus came through the line of David. So, in the promise of God in 2 Samuel to David, he said, your seed will sit on the throne. But not only that, God promised a place where the throne will be. Guess where that place is? Jerusalem. You don't have to guess that. You should know that. Jerusalem. So there's a promise of the seed that came through Jesus, who is the son of David. I think Pastor Joe referred to him this morning. The son of David coming into Jerusalem. The son of David being Jesus. So there is the seed of David being promised. And then the place of the throne being established in Jerusalem. There's only one place concerning this kingdom that I'm talking about, the Davidic kingdom. There's only one place in our world today where that throne is to be established. Only one place. There's no other place. As much as you and I would love the kingdom to be established in Papua New Guinea or wherever else, there's only one place where there's a literal kingdom that will be established, and that's in Jerusalem. We know this biblical revelation understanding of the place of Jerusalem. You know why that's a hot spot in our world today? There are many reasons, but let me propose to you one big reason, and I believe the major reason is that God will establish his throne right there. There are some of us who dare to believe that there is going to be a literal kingdom established in Jerusalem. And the son of David, Jesus, will sit on that throne. Last time I shared with you about Israel and Jesus, I said, you know, some of us as Gentiles, we forget Jesus was born a Jew. He's coming back as a Jew. He's returning as a Jew. Hallelujah. So there is a place where the throne will be established. And you know why the devil and the enemy is doing everything to try and and remove God's people from understanding this. Because once God's people understand that they have a part to play in that kingdom, I tell you, everything else changes. Your whole perspective in life changes. Everything else changes. The whole reason and the purpose for living changes. When you understand that this kingdom that God promised to David so many, many years ago about having a seed that will rule and sit on that throne and having a place that will establish that throne, God gave that to David, and that kingdom literally will be manifested in Jerusalem. That's why I have come to understanding my own writing and research and reading and meditating is that the Davidic kingdom is all about the ruling government of God. It's simply put, it's God's government established. There are some Bible teachers and scholars that talked about this. But in my own study, in my own reading, in my own praying, as I've waited as a son of God in this part of the world, I'm saying, God, come and establish your government. Because when we understand the governmental of God, there is something that's connected with the government of God. I call it the governmental anointing comes. It's the kind of anointing that sat on Daniel when Daniel walked in that Persian Median Empire. Daniel understood that. The Bible tells us in chapter 9, Daniel was praying and seeking God, and then he realized that 70 years of captivity was up. And Daniel began to agonize before God. God, the 70 years are up. What's going to happen? And that's when God revealed to Daniel the visions of what's going to happen. You see, the Davidic covenant talks about the stamp of Jesse. But when you read Revelation in chapter 1, it doesn't only talk about the stamp of Jesse concerning the kingdom and the throne that will be established. It talks about the root of David. Hallelujah. So this is significant for our purpose and our understanding this morning, to understand that when we recognize this covenant, it's a ruling government. It's a government that enables you and I to be ruling and reigning right now. It's not just something in the future only. When we talk about the kingdom of God, let me say this in general, that there is a kingdom that's manifested now, but there is also a part of that kingdom that's not yet. So the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet in its fulfillment, in its totality. The kingdom now is that anointing that enables you and I to understand that if I am part of, want to be part of that kingdom rule of God, then I need to realign myself in such a way that I'm in sync with what's on the mind of God. Oh, pastors, on the spot when he talks to you about some of this stuff. I am in sync with the mind of God that I will desire in my heart to live the way God wants me to live so that his kingdom is perceived and understood. From the stump of David, Isaiah 11 talks about it. Isaiah chapter 9 actually highlights that for us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I reckon for many of us, we're still little children. We don't understand the kingdom dynamics yet. But there comes a time as children of God that we are not just children anymore, but we need to become the sons of God. In other words, grow up. Grow up and align your mind and your heart into the mind frame of God, into what? In the throne room of God. And then you begin to speak the way God wants you to speak. You can begin to talk the way God wants you to talk. You begin to behave the way God wants you to behave. What happens in the throne room, everyone, when the king, the lion of the tribe of Judah, turns this way, the whole kingdom shifts that way. When the lion and the lamb shifts this way, the whole kingdom shifts. The whole kingdom shifts. The whole kingdom shifts. You see, the world doesn't understand it. And sadly, the church world still have to understand that, by and large. Some of us, a few years back, when we were sharing some thoughts, especially from our part of the world to some of our American friends, there was a brother who said to us, "Oh man, we can understand what you're saying, but where we are as Americans, it's like the impression that they were giving us was that everything has to come from America." And then some of us got up and said, amongst ourselves, said, "Not everything has to come from America. What God is saying is that God is opening the minds of His people all over the world today. There are some revelation that God is unveiling in our part of the world that America has to catch up." True? True. That Europe has to catch up. Because there are some stuff that some of us have been talking for more than 35 years in this region that's aligned to this whole kingdom thing. The days of denominationalism is long gone. The days of doing my own little ministries is long gone. The days of trying to create my own name, hey, that's gone. The days that we are in today is about establishing His kingdom. There has to be a kingdom language. There has to be a kingdom vocabulary. There has to be a kingdom attitudes where you realize that when your brother or sister is flowing and speaks the same language and is mindful of what God is saying, then you know you're connecting with something that's heaven sent. You know, some of us went on to say to some of our colleagues years ago, we said, "Well, not everything has to come from the U.S. We thank God for U.S. We thank God for Britain. We thank God for Germany. We thank God for Spain, for what happened in history, in the coming of the gospel. But we thank God that as the church of God begins to mature, as they move from a place of being just a child into a place of sonship, you understand your responsibility. And you pick up your responsibility and you run with what God has unveiled for you for such a time as this." Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is what? Given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." That's all the titles that comes with the governmental anointing. You see, when you walk in that governmental anointing, you begin to understand what the Lord Jesus is going to establish in this kingdom rule. He'll be the counselor. Hallelujah. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Oh! He is the Prince of what? Peace. Oh, mighty God. That's what the world is looking for. That's what the world is desperate for. But when the governmental anointing of God rests upon you as a son of the kingdom, you walk with that sense of knowing. And Papa Joe, nothing will shift us. We walk with a sense of purpose and knowing. We walk with a sense of destiny on our mind that we are sons of the kingdom, ready to move into that realm where when he comes to rule and reign, we'll be there. Hallelujah. We'll be part of that. But that only comes when you and I realize our responsibility is to walk in covenant relationship with our God. That's why I am so keen about this covenant of God. The next slide, please, very quickly. This next slide gives you and I, if you can see that, it gives us, and I just want to keen on the Davidic covenant, the kingdom, the throne, and the Son. And the Son, of course, speaks of Christ. And when we think about that, we're thinking of when you look back into history, that's connected with the Abrahamic covenant. And of course, because the covenant God gave to Abraham was a covenant for the nations as well. That you'll be blessed. When you bless Israel, what happens? You get blessed. Hallelujah. The nations are blessed. Out of you, God said to Abraham, I will bless the nations of the earth. So it's a universal covenant. Universal covenant. So the Davidic covenant is not just a kingdom covenant, but if we connect that to the Abrahamic covenant, it's a universal covenant. It's for all peoples from all walks of life. Hallelujah. From the least to the greatest. And I thank God that you and I are part of that. Why? Because of the new covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the new covenant sealed with the very precious blood of Jesus. See, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant, and there's a third part of the covenant that actually is a study on its own. It's the land covenant. The land. Yes, God promised David a land as well. Hallelujah. Where God's people will not be hassled by their enemies again, but they will be forever stationed in the very place that God assigned Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. Hallelujah. They will no longer be moved. And you know what? Israel became that place, or the state of Israel, as some call it today, the state of Israel, as it is today, became that place that Jews from wherever they were came. And of course, 1967 was the year that they came back. Hallelujah. They established. 1948 was the year that they came back. They established the state of Israel. Hallelujah. 1948, 1967, Jerusalem was taken. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you see these things unfold before you, don't think it's not connected with this kingdom thing that we're talking about. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the enemies, know that his salvation is near. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I should be jumping up and down. and getting excited because it's to do with the land. In PNG, we say ground here, ground and big plus something. The land is a big thing. We fight over land in Papua New Guinea. But not only in Papua New Guinea, we fight over land elsewhere. Our colonizers fought over the lands that we now call our home. It was about land. It was about taking this, taking that, taking this, taking that. You know why it's all about the land? Because God gave that land to Adam. Adam, this is yours. I've given you a beautiful land and a garden, and there's these four rivers, and this land is where I have placed you. There's a scripture, I didn't have time to look it up today, but it just come to my mind now. The heavens, well, that's God rules and reigns. But the Bible says the earth is giving it over to man. The earth, this, what we call a piece of death outside, this ground that keeps us secure and steady, and you know, we walk on like say on Mother Earth, and we enjoy what we see around it. But we must understand the land is something very, very close to the heart of God. I'm doing some further research about that because I want to write a little booklet to help our people back home about land, land matters, land issues. But we often say back home that Papa ground means, you know, we are owners of this. But I want to correct our people. Understand that you're not the owner of the land. You're just the steward of the land. You're just the caretaker of the land. Because that was what God gave to Adam. And when God gave Adam that rulership and ownership, it wasn't ownership in the sense of it belongs to me now. No, it was in the fact that he said to Adam, you take care of it. You nurture it. You look after everything in this garden. You take responsibility over it. So when it comes to the Davidic covenant, the land that you and I stand upon today is very significant because it was God who created that land. It was God who established that land. It was God who gave it to us in the first place. That's why it is so precious to God. He created it. Just like you and I are so precious to God. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. In the image of God, he created men, male and female. Not just females only. Not just males only, but male and female. And in the wisdom of God, in God's divine foreknowledge, he created male and female for his own good pleasure. Hallelujah. My next slide there, let me just take us quickly forward there, that in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, Isaiah 35. The root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, speaking of Jesus. And his place of rest will be glorious. Hallelujah. His place of rest will be glorious. Jerusalem will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time, the Bible says. What? A second time? Concerning the Davidic covenant, yes, he has established, he given that promise to David. But a second time, meaning that God is reaching out to his people in a way he's never reached out before. There's three things about the covenant premise that we need to understand. First is that God says, I will be your God. In all of the covenant with Abraham, then the Mosaic covenant, then the Noahic covenant, covenant with Noah, with Moses, with Abraham, and with Jacob, and with all the others, he says, I will be your God. That's the first premise. That premise has never changed in history. I will be your God. He's a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. So he is the one that initiates that. God initiates that covenant. Right from Genesis chapter 1, he came into Adam's life and he revealed himself to Adam and Eve. He said, I will be your God. So that is the first premise of the covenant relationship. And that's what I want us to understand today as God's people, wherever you are listening. The first thing that you and I need to understand, if we need to be part of that kingdom, if we want to be part of that kingdom rule and governmental rule, is that we need to understand God is God. He's number one. He's not number two, number three, or just another God. He's the God of gods. He's the God of all gods. That's commandment number one in Exodus 20. I am the Lord, thy God. There is none other beside me. Why is it number one? It's number one because that's the one that you and I need to know and understand. There's no other God. There's only one God and Him alone. Hallelujah. The last time I shared with you how all of our nations, apart from Israel, have many gods. There's only one nation under God's heaven that only has one God. That's Israel. It's the God of the Jews. One God. So he appeared over history, biblical history, as the one God. That's premise number one. He said, I will be your God. There's no other gods. Premise number two, you will be my people. You shall be my people. That's if you are willing. That's if you want to be his people. That's if you want to be a part of the kingdom. He said, I will be your God. You shall be my people. He said that time and time again throughout all the covenants. He will be your God if only you and I allow him and give him that place in our lives to be God and God alone. There's no two-way thing about this God of the Bible, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David, that you shall be my people. And the third premise of the covenant is that he said, then I will come and dwell in your midst. Woo! Then I will come and dwell in your midst. Oh, I love that. Because when I go back to Revelation 21, going to Revelation 21, he tells me about the new earth and the new heaven. We used to sing a song. In fact, my wife and I used to sing a song. Long time, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he will wipe away every tears. Hallelujah. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. Because the tabernacle of God is with men. God himself will come and live in the midst of his people. That's the premise number three about the covenant. And that's the kind of commitment God expects from you and I to step into this covenant relationship number one, to make God number one and no other. Number two, to know that you belong to God and you don't belong to no others. No. Hallelujah. That makes sense to me. In fact, if you're a married person, you say it makes good sense to you. You know, when my wife and I got married, she married me, Namita Sol. My wife is not for no others. And likewise, I'm not for no others. Hallelujah. Mitublata Sol. And that's the kind of covenant relationship that God's speaking of his people, that I will be your God and you will be my people. In other words, when you say, God, I belong to you, there's no one else. There's nothing else. No money, no position, no fame, no fortune, no beauty will draw you away because you belong to God. Hallelujah. He's purchased you in full. He's paid the price in full. Hallelujah. So you belong to God, and then he says, I will come and dwell in the midst of it, in your midst. In other words, you then enjoy the full benefits and the blessings of all that he has for you. Oh, what a kingdom that is. What a kingdom. You know, you and I can experience a bit of that now. You don't have to wait for it to come. You can experience a bit of that blessings of the kingdom now when you realize that you belong to God. When you realize that he is your God. Hallelujah. No COVID-19 will turn you away from him. Hallelujah. No sickness, no pain, no sorrow. Because on that day, a second time, the Bible says, in that day the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant. I like that word, reclaim, and I like the word remnant. That is left of his people. Hallelujah. Now, yes, the first thought is his people, those from the natural seed of Abraham. You remember the graph there? The natural seed of Abraham, the Jewish race, the Jewish people. But not only that, his natural seeds also includes the seeds that are from Ishmael. Hallelujah. The Arab nations of our world today. They too have a promise according to the Abrahamic covenant. Now that's something else. But we need to understand here that promise is to reclaim the remnant that he has drawn from all over the earth. And I like what Isaiah 10:11 says, and not only that, from the nations of the that he mentioned, but also that includes the islands of the sea. The remnants from the islands of the seas. Hallelujah. That's us. I'm claiming that. Islands of the seas. The Pacific Islands, hey. That's us. Fiji, that's us. Solomon Islands, that's us. Vanuatu, that's us. Australia, that's us. Australia might not think you're an island, but you are an island. You're a big island. Yeah. New Zealand, you're an island. Hallelujah. The islands of the seas. God had you and I in mind when Isaiah prophesied that the remnants will come. I love Isaiah 35, verse 8, he's creating a highway of holiness. I've been speaking about that highway of holiness for years and years now. Hallelujah. A highway of holiness. A highway of holiness. For the ransom of the Lord shall return and come with what? Singing. Where in the world were they singing so beautifully, Papa Joel? Huh? Where? The Pacific. Woo! Tell you what, when the Pacific Islanders sing, oh man, you can't sit still. And then when they beat the drums, when they dance to the rhythms. And I say this all over, I have traveled around the Pacific Islands, back all the way into Micronesian Islands. I say, bring those singing out. Bring those redemptive songs that God's birthed into you. And bring them out and don't copy the American songs. Don't copy the songs that are coming from elsewhere. You have your own songs. You have your own tunes. You have your own melodies. You have your own rhythms. Bring them out. Bring them on. Hey, bust the band. Woo! The islands and the remnant will come with singing. The Bible says Isaiah 35. And they'll come with singing and joy and gladness will be in there. Oh, they'll come with singing and they will come with gladness and joy. There's sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. Isaiah 35 talks about that. Read that up. So as we bring this message to a closure this morning, it is just an introduction to this kingdom that God has gave you a window into heaven's throne room. The lion and the lamb have triumphed. They have triumphed mightily. And so on the basis of that triumphant victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can then understand that as His children, as His people today, so when you go all over the world, like I have in many parts of the world, and you enter into a place where God's people are worshiping the Lord, and they're rejoicing, and they're singing maybe differently, they're dancing to a different tune, or they're rhythms are slightly different to yours, that's fine. Just join along with them because they are the people of God. Because heaven's going to be like that all over. You begin to realize why He has created so many different tongues and tribes. I believe heaven's going to be like that. 24/7. In fact, the kingdom of God, the Davidic kingdom, and this government of God is there's worship around the throne 24/7. Hallelujah. Worship around the throne 24/7. There's worship around the world. Hallelujah. You know, I lead the Pacific Prayer Assembly movement for the past so many years now, and one of the things that we love to do in the Pacific is to establish a 24/7 house of prayer, praise and worship. And we have a few of that in the Pacific now, where the intercessors and prayer warriors, they pray. The most recent one was in Vanuatu. Even the government of Vanuatu actually financed that. They've got what they call a house of prayer, 24/7. They call it the Tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. 24/7 on the island of Espiritu Santo. And they're praying 24/7. Churches coming together. And they take turns rostering different prayer groups to go in 24/7. The people of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Hallelujah. And then finally this morning, in our final slide there, just want to remind us the importance of entering into that covenant relationship with God. That God is a covenant making and a covenant keeping God. And you've heard me say this over a few times this morning in the last time I was here. That He made that covenant with Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and then David, as we talk about David and the kingdom of God. He made a covenant with Israel specifically, and Israel and the nations, God's people. And that covenant is made possible because of the new covenant for the Gentile nations, because of what Christ has done. that we now understand what it means to be part of that covenant people of God as His very own people. And there are three important principles I close with this concerning entering into a covenant relationship. And I've alluded to that this morning. Number one is to enter into a relationship, it has to be preeminent. In other words, there's no other. You enter into a covenant relationship with God when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. There's no other outside of that. You follow what I'm saying? It's preeminent. Preeminent means there's no one else, nothing else. That's the only entrance into that kingdom. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. There's no other. You can go try something else, but it's not the same. It's preeminent. That relationship you enter into, there's no other relationship. And then second principle you need to understand is that it's permanent. Hallelujah. It's permanent. Permanence means permanent. Permanent. Like when I entered into a covenant relationship with my wife, it's preeminent and it's permanent. I didn't marry her and then 2 weeks later say, I don't want you. And then maybe 5 weeks later and say, I don't want you. Or 1 month later, I said, I don't want you. It's a permanent relationship. Hallelujah. Now 42 years on, we are still together. Hallelujah. Woo, woo. Oh, Pastor Ben, you have to catch up. 42 years. 42 years, still going strong. Still the best lady of my life. There's no other. There's no other. Preeminent. That's the principle. Preeminent. There's no other. Oh, there may be some good-looking ladies around, but I tell you what, you cannot be compared to my wife. There's no other. I only got one set of eyes only for her. Woo! Go! And then the third principle and the final thing I want to mention this morning is that it's inviolable. You know, you cannot break it. You cannot violate this covenant relationship. You cannot violate it. That's why God said to Israel, there's no other God. You cannot violate this relationship with Yahweh, with Jehovah. There's no other. You cannot violate that. Same in the marriage relationship. You cannot violate that relationship. You know, when you're conducting the marriage, you know, the celebrant will say, you know, does anyone have anything else to say about this relationship? Or forever hold your peace. See, these are principles of entering into a covenant relationship with God. And if we can only understand that and live by that, then you are preparing your mind to shift into that kingdom living. That kingdom that Pastor Ben preacher, Pastor Joe, and all your pastors here talk about. And you will hear more and more of that in the coming days through other speakers. I'm giving you a understanding to help us understand that this kingdom eventually will be part of that. We are part of that kingdom because of what Christ has done for us. And in its final finality, in its final appearance of that kingdom that the Bible speaks of in Revelation. And so we understand this now that when we, if we want to enter into that kingdom, we need to enter into a covenant relationship with God. If you do not know anything about this God that I'm talking about today, and if you're listening out there through this broadcast, may I invite you to to join with me this morning in a short prayer and ask the Lord to come into your life and ask Him to be your Savior and Lord. So can we all just do that just for a brief moment before I hand over to our leader to close the session today. Father, I come before your throne of grace and I offer you my life. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I pray that you will put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will cleanse me from all my sins. And I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord today. In your mighty name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just as we finish up this morning, I just want to say, I've just simply given you a general overview of what this covenant is about, the Davidic covenant and the other covenants. But there is much, much more we can go into details about the different covenants God established in place. But the one thing that I want us to remember about all these different covenants God established is that we need to get an understanding of it, because that's the kind of relationship God is taking us into as His people. Because there'll be no two-way thing about being a sheep or a goat. As far as God is concerned, we are moving into that phase in our world today, whether you're a goat nation or a sheep nation. And one day, when He comes to sit on the throne of David and rule and reign, the Bible says He will rule with an iron rod. That means He will rule in such a way that you will know that He is God. Hallelujah. There is no other way. He is the only way. Because He is the Alpha and the Omega, and He's also the in-between. May the Lord bless you, and I'm going to invite Pastor to come and close our time together this morning. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, you've been sitting all morning, so you can stand up and shake your legs and your hands. Shake a leg. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank you for His revelation and teaching on the kingdom and the covenant. And if you are, like I said this morning, you can go back on live stream when it's recorded, or you can also see this morning's service. It's a prelude to what Papa shared this morning, and that is just the two messages are connected to each other, the morning service and the second part of this service this morning. So make sure you go and listen to it and get some scripture study. We bring you the word, but don't take it from us. Go and study it. Hallelujah. Read it for yourself. Read that for yourself. Do research. Do like Timothy did. He started to make himself, show himself approved. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take up our tithes and offering, but I want to sing. Let's sing a song whilst we're singing praises to God this morning. I want us to take up tithes and offerings, but also if you are able to put a love offering to bless Papa and Mama as they travel back to Townsville. We don't normally get guest speakers in this church too many times. Once in a while, because of the message on the covenant and on the kingdom, I thought it would be really nice to have Papa come and share, because these are the things that we learn from our fathers. those who have gone before us to establish this movement and teaching, so that we understand that this is not about just going to church. This is truly living and manifesting the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for those of the people that are here this morning, those that are watching even on live stream. Lord, as we give because we understand covenant. We give because we understand the principles of the kingdom. We give because we are only stewards of everything that you blessed us with. Lord, our jobs, the blessing that we have in business, the very place that you placed us in, where we go to work, where we live. Lord, all these are a blessing from you. Because we are just, as Papa shared, we are just stewards of the blessing that you've given us. This very earth that we live on. Out of that understanding, we give. We give because we love you. We honor you. We thank you for providing for us every day. Of not neglecting our needs. You said that you will feed the birds of the air. And you will also take care of us. We understand that, Father, and we give you praise. Help us to walk in the principles of giving. To give with an open heart. To give knowing that we are just servants. Give knowing that we are stewards of this wonderful gift that you've given us. The ability to create wealth. The power to create wealth. God, you said you have given us the power to create wealth. And we are creating wealth from work, from business. So, Father, help us especially to be people of giving. Understanding, giving with joy in our hearts. Hallelujah. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Papa Joe. And then you can